I'm not sure whether you know about the Stichting Desire, where we're from, so maybe we should introduce it ourselves. Stichting Desire is an NGO, a small foundation in the Netherlands, who is supporting Auroville for the last 20 years. What are we now? Yes, more or less for 20 years. So every year we support projects and activities in Auroville. The previous boards, or the various boards of this foundation, have all been here rather regularly. We are two new members in the board, the two of us, and so we decided that the whole board would visit Auroville to acquaint ourselves better with the work of Auroville and the activities that are on board. We decided to come with four. One person dropped out the day before we left, and one is still here, was with us after the last few days, but is not feeling very well, so she's trying to recover so that she can join us in the afternoon. So it's unfortunate that rather than showing up with four board members, we are only here with two at the moment. But that's how it is. Mm-hmm. It's a Dutch foundation, and we support activities in Auroville, but also elsewhere in the world. In terms of helping people to find themselves and helping people to grow and develop in various ways, combinations of self-development, art, science, and all that together. So Auroville forms part of the activities we support, also because the founder, the lady who founded the foundation, was very keen on supporting Auroville. She's been here several times herself, and so it's thanks to her and the legacy she left behind that we can do this work. We've been here now for a couple of days. We've been talking to people whom our Desire supported in the past. And Desire means he who sows. Dutch, but it means he who sows, and one of the objectives of the foundation is that we want to give seed money for new activities, mm-hmm. or seed money that will enable activities to really take off and grow and multiply. We have seen in the past couple of days projects that the foundation supported in the past. We've been discussing with lots of the institutions in Auroville, with the budget committee and with the project committee, and with, went to the foundation. And so we had all of that for us trying to get a better feel of what Auroville is and what the people in Auroville are doing. We are particularly interested in the future of Auroville. The past is beautiful, but it is from the past that you grow into the future. So we are particularly interested into the future of Auroville, and that's also why we wanted to talk to newcomers. Mm-hmm. We wanted to hear what newcomers attracts to Auroville. What is it that they, being new, not being part, let's say, of the history of Auroville, not being part or not having been acquainted, most likely not, with the founders of Auroville, with the mother, and so on. What is it that attracts newcomers to come to Auroville and share in this, on the one hand, share in this ideal in building this new world? On the other hand, most likely, to forego lots of the conveniences that the other world offers. So indeed, that would be our first question. What is it that attracted you to Auroville, to become a newcomer, to decide that I want to live and work here, and spend my life here? So what is it that attracted you to this place?
The dream. Mother's dream, mm-hmm. and I think the first article of the charter, and also, well, all four articles, but I almost want to weep every time I imagine that people from 120 states and countries came together in 1968 with a fistful of soil from their homeland, and they buried it together in the urn that's just a throws away from here. And that was because Mother believed that there needed to be one place on earth that belonged to no one and yet belonged to everyone. And collectively, when we come together with that aspiration, I'm an idealist, which is why I'm here, that will grow and we can transform the world by using the science, by using the arts, by using these innate things that are in us to transform the cells of the past into the future. And I really believe that there is that sense of how are we going into the future and how are we bridging this. And then of course we talk about the youth and how we're forever young, but we're talking about young in our mind, in our heart, that effervescenceness, for lack of a better word, that effervescenceness that just bubbles and grows and comes collectively. So I think that's what, it was a very internal feeling. It was that I just needed to be here. I was called to be here.
Rather here than where you were. You could not sort of connect yourself to yourself and with these ideals where you were. You had to come here.
Yes, I come from Canada. I am of Indian origin. I was born in Tanzania in Africa, but my mother and father are Indian. And I think very interestingly, in my interview, during the entry service interview, it dawned on me just in that specific moment that when we were moving to Canada, my mother and father were looking at moving to an international community by Pondicherry, right? And it suddenly occurred to me, like, my goodness, I wonder if this was it. And I believe that it was.
They
chose to go somewhere else.
So
maybe this is that circle that's coming back.
They could have come here as well.
Now, why not Canada? I'm very privileged in that I had an excellent job. I'm actually still on a leave of absence from there. I'm a medical clown working in a hospital, and it's a very forward-thinking hospital. But what brings me here is, I think, the growth that I can't get there. This quietness, right? This energy that I get when I walk down the roads, not just from the people, but from the atmosphere, from the banyan tree, from the trees, from the birds, the owls that are in the banyan tree. It's an over-encompassing feeling. In Canada, it's, for me anyway, it tended to be a little segmented. I would work, but there wasn't that complete integration. There's a little bit of an integration, but not as complete as I find that there is here.
And it is not just you coming here and trying to relate to, let's say, the mother and the Matri Mandir. It's also you have to relate to the community, with the people and the various activities. And at the same time, when coming here, you have to find a place in that community. Trying to connect to people, trying to join some activities, not others. And at the same time, the community itself is rather, it's not directive. It is not, at least that's how we have understood it so far. It's not directing you to places. You have to find yourself these places. How do you deal with that? So the community is not directive, saying you do this, do this, do this. But it's more opening spaces for you to find this. Rather than pointing out, it's they try and enable you to find. How is that for a newcomer to find your way into this community?
It has some challenges, and yet it has beautiful opportunities. I've been very fortunate to interact with the people at Entry, with my mentors, with the people that I meet with. And perhaps because I'm in a unique position with what I do, Like I said, I'm a medical clown. I work with laughter. I work with joy. And people seem to be open to that and want it. So from that, there's suggestions and invitations. Ah, you might consider going. So it's not really, you should do this. It's, ah, you know, here's something that may fit in with what you're doing, with where you want to go as well. And for me, this is lovely because it's still a little bit of what I bring with me, the past, but it's also growing into the future, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But initially I found it a little challenging because I kept wanting to ask permission. And it's not about permission at all. It's about, for me, it's about going, yeah, that feels right. I go into the chamber and I sit and I have concentration and I come up and go, yes, that's the route I need to go. And that might change in a week, but this is where I am right now, and this is the opportunity, and these are the teachings and learnings that help me to transform, to be kinder, to be more patient. Yeah. I've learned a lot of patience here, right? So things like that.
How long have you been here as a newcomer?
I came on 12-12-12. And yeah, it wasn't planned. And interesting, we just came from the Netherlands. We were from Canada to the Netherlands, where we were there for 10 days, and then we were here on 12-12-12.
Oh.
And my newcomer period started on the 30th of March. So,
several months.
Yeah, a halfway point.
There's also an NGO in Holland called Clinic Clowns. You heard of them?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I know 7 of them.
Okay.
So we were in a conference in, we spent 3 weeks together in Israel doing mediclowning. So I know Jacqueline quite well.
Yes.
And then you've also got another, Trudy Schamberger, who deals with older people and dementia, but she also came from Clinic Clown. And there's a care clown here right now. I met him yesterday.
Oh.
Yeah, and he's from the Netherlands as well. Yeah, so I know you have 4 organizations of various medical clowns, clinic clowns, and so I know 3 of them now, so I'm quite excited about that.
Yeah. Interesting.
You met him by accident here?
We happened to be at the same meeting at Unlimited Tamil Nadu, and I was sharing my experiences doing what I call Komali MediClown Academy. And he was there and mentioned that he was a care clown, so we were able to share what we're doing across the waters.
Okay.
So it was quite exciting.
It was not in Oroville.
It was in Oroville.
He was an Orovillian.
No.
Or a visitor.
He's a visitor. He's only been here for 2 or 3 days.
Oh, okay.
And he came with another man
from
the Netherlands. And we met at Sarakon, which is one of our campuses here.
Yeah.
Lovely campus.
Yeah.
And that's being run, Unlimited Tamil Nadu, is also being incubated by a man from the Netherlands, Heis. Yeah.
Don't think that all Dutch people are saints.
No, but they're wonderful. We do a lot of fun things.
I also understand that the community Oroville, looking into the future, needs a lot of newcomers.
Mm-hmm.
And you just said there were 160, 170?
120
currently in the process of... that is promising, would you not say? That number is promising, or is that less than you would have hoped?
No, it's a promising.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yet for newcomers, it is not only a step of trying to join the community and finding their place and finding themselves, it's also a rather, let's say, a big step in the material sense.
Mm-hmm.
You come here and you, while here, you have to maintain yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And the period, the length, the duration of the newcomership is not certain. It could be 12 months, it could be more. But it's not easy to plan that period. And yet, at the same time, you have to take care of yourself in the material sense of the word. How do you view that? How do you, looking on that whole situation, given that it's important to attract more newcomers, how would you What's your opinion about that?
When we left Canada, we left a lot of things behind. Mm-hmm. My purpose to come here is to simplify my life, to simplify materially, mentally, physically, emotionally. So I need to leave that stuff there. How can I maintain myself on... For me, it's been gradual. Yes, I still need my luxuries that help support where I am. I still need that. But I can still learn to adapt into the culture, to eat rice and dal. I don't need to have, you know, 600 rupee olive oil or caviar, right? Or quinoa. I need to adapt. I've come to India. I need to adapt. And there are ways. There's many newcomers that come here that can live on a maintenance. But you need to, I need to have that mindset to release that, because otherwise, why not just go back home?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But at the same time, yes, so it's a step to live on the, let's say, the Canadian way of life to living on maintenance. Mm-hmm. That's a step. But at the moment, as a newcomer, you are not getting maintenance. So you have to, yes, you do a step back, but you have to take care of yourself. You have to maintain, you have to provide your own maintenance in this whole newcomer period.
Mm-hmm. When we came here 6 years ago, wanting to become a newcomer at that point, we knew that we did not have the financial means. Uh-huh. We went back, we saved our money, we focused on what we wanted to do. Uh-huh. Our trip here was hastened a bit because my mother passed away, so we were able to help that along in a faster way. But for me, I think it was important that I come with a little bit. When I travel, when I go on a vacation, I don't go with absolutely nothing. I go with at least something. And there are ways in Oroville where you can be within a unit and can get a stipend. And there are people that are doing that.
Also for newcomers.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think you need to find, and that's again going back to your question about how do you find your way. Well, I'm 7 months into the process and I've just discovered this, right? So I am given what I need to know at the time, and I'm making the wild assumption that all the other newcomers are given what they need to know at the time. And it's to plunge into that adventure, plunge in, and have that faith.
Yeah, yeah.
As long as we have shelter, as long as we have food, as long as we have the support of the community, and that community might be the five people that are here with you or two, but that grows. Yes, it is difficult, no doubt about it. Mm. And it's challenging.
Yeah.
But I think it's your frame, it's my frame of mind as well. I'll speak for myself, okay?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's my frame of mind. I can choose to...
You say, you plunge into the community gives you shelter and food. How easy or difficult or challenging was it to find a place to live? Here, housing is an issue we hear.
For us, it was a challenge to get what we wanted, okay? And I think that's the key word,
yeah.
To get what we wanted. When we came and we stayed at a guest house, a fabulous guest house. It was a bamboo hut in the Greenbelt,
uh-huh.
With an outdoor toilet, an outdoor shower. Hamish and I come from Canada where we have lots of space, we have two bathrooms, we have two floors of a bungalow, so for us to be in this was challenging. To have to go outside was challenging. We looked at a number of places and we thought, no, this is not what we want. They were available, but they were not necessarily what we wanted. So we decided, we made the decision, no, we don't want to house it for 3 weeks here and 4 weeks here and this. So we waited it out until what we felt was suitable for us came along. And we are really happy with where we are right now. And that took until the end of March for that to happen.
But you found yourself a place to stay where you say, well, this is indeed the place to stay.
Mm-hmm. But before then, We probably looked at a good 15 to 20 places. We went to housing, and Galit and Joseba were really good. More so Galit. Joseba was showing us some of the completed possibilities.
Yeah.
And projects, but we weren't ready to go into a project at that point.
Uh-huh.
We wanted to sense things out,
yeah.
But there were some possible newcomer flats. We went and we looked at them. They were a little dark. They were a little dingy. They weren't what we wanted. There were some others that were really beautiful, that were house-sitting opportunities. So this is my experience.
Yeah.
You can't be choosing.
No. The 120 newcomers are there currently. Are you do you do a lot of activities together with this group of newcomers as group?
I wouldn't say there's a lot of activity. The few that come to mind are one we did a newcomer orientation, and so there's about 16 of us that come together and we go through I think a 7-8 day period where we go to places. And we learn the ideas. We learn some of the controversies as well.
Uh-huh.
So it's not all one-sided. It's got a good journalistic view, yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's, and some of us still keep in touch from that group. There's also been what's called, it came out of what was called an open platform meeting. And at that open platform meeting, they were talking about the entry process and how it was to be a newcomer.
Mm-hmm.
So then there were a number of people that, maybe about 30 or so, that gathered and had open discussions about what their experiences were. So out of that group, a few of us continued to meet. They want that to continue, so, you know, where it's a once a month where you can get together and just share. So that's... Yeah. The more structured, and then of course when you go to Solar Kitchen and you go here, you go there, you see someone and you have a conversation, right? Oh, you're a newcomer, how are you doing? You share.
I assume, but correct me if I'm wrong, that you also have to join activities or join units or cooperate with people in activities.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think that's part of becoming part of the community, right? You need to be able to work and to contribute. And there's a wide range of work that you can do. I was very fortunate with what I do that I'm able to fit into a number of different places.
Can you give me some examples? Where have you worked or fitted in or whatever?
Yeah, most certainly. AB Health Service. I've done some work with people who are elderly and who are dying, so I've been able to bring my experience as a medical clown there at Kailash, which is the medical center that we have here, the Integrated Medical Center. I've also just been requested to work with the Integrated Health Center with Secret and the therapist to help organize. We do laughter. We do a lot of laughter at with Pachandikulam Forest and environmental education. Environmental education is not just external, it's internal. So through that, we've been collaborating with some villages and village action to see how, when we bring laughter, does that reduce stress, reduce domestic violence, and upgrades. So these is how I have been able to integrate.
So partly... community makes partly use of your skills and competencies and expertise in the medical field
And education field,
but also in the they make use of your skills as a clown. Forget about the medical part.
No, medical clown.
Yeah,
I'm a medical clown. Very
but
much
to use that part in other, let's say, non-medical settings. And so, do you have there? For the feeling that your let's say your competencies as a worker as a are being optimally used to use in these phrases
at this point not yet no I'm working on that, and I think that's part of being a medical clown is a new concept even internationally. you know, I think Holland is probably up there, like with America, where
yeah, Willem knows more about that than I do.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, and so coming to a place like this, we need to look at the empirical evidence. We need to look at some of those research papers, which I've got with me. So now it's to marry the scientific with what's here. People like that concept, but sometimes it's a little... So you need to take it further, right?
Yeah.
So...
And do you see the opportunity to indeed introduce that here?
Absolutely. Uh-huh. Yes. And I'm working on that with some people right now. Yes.
Okay. So you not only see the opportunity, but you can also develop the opportunity and let's say implement your ideas here in your own, let's say, professional field.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have a quite different question.
Yes.
Is it possible that at the end of the newcomer period, that our field says to you, you're not allowed to stay? Is that is possible?
Yes.
And if that happens, what happens then with you and all the things you left behind in Canada?
That's a really good question, and I think that's a fear. That is definitely a fear and a challenge. I was given a one-year leave of absence, so I do have a job to go back to, but because my newcomer period didn't start until, you know, 3 months, almost 4 months in, I can't go back because my commitment is here. So I have to have faith. I have to trust. And if I'm not accepted into the community, I need to figure out, okay, do I go to a village close by? How do I still maintain the integrity of the dream, the vision, which has now become my dream and vision, so and not give up. If Mother has called me here, I believe I will be here. And if by chance I'm not here, then I just go, okay, what is it that I need to be doing to expand your vision? Because remember, my family didn't come here in 1968. Why did we wait all this time for me to get all of my life experience to now come here? So I have to trust.
Mm. Do you, in this newcomer period, get feedback from your mentor or from about you're on the right track, or would might sound a bit awkward, but you're on the right track, continue like you're doing, or there's room for improvement here in terms of being accepted at the end of the period?
No, absolutely. As a matter of fact, I just met with I meet with my mentor frequently. She's someone I have a great deal of love and respect for, that I actually met right here at the radio station in this room, Marlenka. And we talk about everything, and, you know, I'll say most of the questions I have are, you know, either about housing or about Mother and Sri Aurobindo, and she directs me. So we have these wonderful conversations. Sorry, when I say she directs, she doesn't tell me exactly what to do, but she'll suggest, you know, like reading this book. You know, Loretta's book is really wonderful, and it takes the whole agenda and it, you know, squeezes it into two volumes, right? So there's things like that, or I'll go, Marlenka, this doesn't make sense to me about this. Uh-huh. And so I feel very good about the person that I have. And I can speak for my husband too, Hamish. You know, his mentor is Kelsang, and she's been here for 16 years as well from the Tibetan Pavilion. And he as well is able to speak really openly with her, and she gives really good feedback on the direction and how to... how to segue through, right? Gracefully.
At this start of your stay in Aurobindo, how do you see the future of Aurobindo?
How do I see the future of Aurobindo? I am an absolute optimist. I believe that we are going to grow. I believe that we've had some humps. But now, in the last little while, there have been some general meetings and there have been some open platforms, and people are having dialogue. there tends to be this, even from the first meeting that I went to the one that I, a feedback session that was just yesterday or the day before, there seems to be this sense of collaboration. Okay, I'm hearing what you're saying. So I believe that we're on the right track. And when we're on the right track, I believe we'll grow. Mm. And it comes from the heart. It comes from love. It doesn't come from the head. You know, it's not about the money. The people, it needs to come back to the people. And I believe with what the Open Platform has been doing, is it's coming back and saying, as Orvillians, what is it that you want? It's not just about these X number of people that make the choice. It has to come back to the Residents' Assembly. And collectively, with Mother, we make that collaboration.
Yeah, including not just the ideal of bringing and creating a community of what, 140 different nationalities of all creed and background, but also a community that is economically self-sustainable, because it has to be in the end a self-sustainable community.
It's my understanding that the next Open Platform meeting that we have, sorry, I had a funeral I had to go to, so I may have missed this one, but that we were going to talk about the economy of Oroville. Mm. And I think at least the people that I speak to on the street, on the road, and in the meetings, believe that, yes, the economy is really important. How do we become self-sustaining? What are some of those methodologies? And I know that there's a few people that are working on that within, I don't know if there's a special unit, but I know like Petra, who was at the Bamboo Center, is very keen on the economics. There's other people who are at Unlimited Tamil Nadu are wanting to do their PhD thesis on the economics of an environment like Oroville. So I believe that's in the somewhere, maybe not officially, but there are people who are interested in that.
So, concluding,
yes,
you see you see a bright future for all of you.
Yes,
both in all aspects.
Yes.
Well, it's great that then you're here and to benefit from this bright future. I don't know, Jan Willem, would you have another question, which on a topic we might not have touched?
Maybe we could ask. Are there missing parts in Oroville? Is there something lacking at this moment?
I don't know the full story, and so there may be a rationale for this, but I feel what's lacking is a complete integration with the village, the people from the village who have really helped to build Oroville, and the people, the foreigners who have come in and benefited. I believe that there needs to really be more work done in that area so it's not ghettoized and segmented. Where you take away the skin, we all have the same color blood. We all have the same heart.
Give one experience about. You have to consider that Oroville basically almost 45% are from international. So the integration goes on. It's not only a one-way integration, it's both sides integration, of course. And sometimes, and now we have a new member in the country service, and we had an interview and said, wow, I never realized that people that come from abroad, they have to be behind everything. It's a scary thing, yes. And I never realized how much trouble also, because you come here and you are no safety net, you are no referral. So it's interesting, because you see also from other side that there is some realization, and that is the integration. And from the other side, it's true that a lot of people from the village, from the other side of India, they come here. And they are also to integrate us. It's not only one way. So we always need to think about that. This integration is when two cultures meet each other, and they integrate each other. It's very important.
Yeah. Maybe a last word from your side?
What do you think?
Maybe.
I don't know. I don't know if I have any last words other than I feel very blessed and very privileged to be here. Mm-hmm. I really do. And I think my life has just led me to here, and if I'm to be here, it will be wonderful, and if I'm not to be here, it will eventually be wonderful. But right now, this is my home, this is my family, good and bad, they're my family, and that's who I love.
Thank you very much for sharing your time with us and giving us your thoughts and thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. It's very much my thoughts, right? I can't speak for others.